Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-wing perspective. Did I mention we're brought to you by Netroots Radio?
You did.
Okay. I am Travis.
I'm Rachel.
It is Friday, February 17th, 2017. We have a very special guest today, Moses the Cat.
Moses.
Decided to join us. Suckling into the microphone because that's what he does. He's a friggin' weirdo. My cat is.
I love him. And he's my baby.
He's here to put in his two cents, I guess. So hi, Moses.
Say hi to everybody.
Good. Okay.
Good job.
Great.
So another week, another day of chaos in the unfolding dumpster fire that is the Donald Trump presidential administration.
Dismantling of the republic.
We had a completely unhinged press conference yesterday.
Did you watch it?
I saw the lowlights.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing in real time. I was working. I couldn't have.
Me too.
If I wanted to.
But yeah.
I saw sort of the tweets in real time, and I was thinking, like, okay, come on. It can't be this bad.
Yeah.
It can't be this chaotic. And
yeah.
then, like, I went back and saw, like, what was actually happening. I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
Oh, no. It's a
completely
complete
bonkers
fucking nightmare. I mean, it's.
And then I saw people like Eric Erickson. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm still not a fan of Trump, but, boy, he really stuck it to the media today. And I'm thinking, like, you want to get behind this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. State.
You showed
controlled
them.
Media. Yes. That's exactly what they want. He loves Putin. Putin controls the media in Russia, and he's like, we should do that. Let's just bully them into blah, blah, blah.
Well, that was just part of the unhinged lunacy of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
I mean, that's almost a small part of it. I mean, that's the part that the media is talking about, obviously.
Which, can I just say, the thing that irritates me the most about... Well, not... That's not true. There's a lot of things that irritate me about the media, but... I read one article that was like six things Trump said that you wouldn't believe. And it was actual, like, holy shit. And then Vox did one that was nine things Trump said you wouldn't believe. Uh-huh. And every single point, all nine of them, were about the media. Were about what he said about the media, how they asked him about the media, his response,
his
thing. And I'm like, okay, that is not as important to me. Like, the media is an institution that will persist. And I understand that if you're in it, that's the thing you want to cover. But he said some crazy shit that had nothing to do with the media that they did not cover in that article. And I was like, guys, step back a minute.
Did the Vox article include what he said to the Jewish reporter?
No.
To bring up
or the black
anti-Semitism?
No. Like,
or April Ryan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let's just start from my very favorite one.
Okay.
When asked about the town hall meetings and the rage that's been felt by people at a local level, mm-hmm. and how they're responding to that with their local congressmen at town halls. He said, literally, well, those people voted for Democrats.
Yeah.
Those aren't the people that the Republicans are governing. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. I just,
like, he literally said, if you didn't vote for us, we
don't represent
you. We don't represent you, which is fundamentally not how it fucking works. Like, of all the things that no one is talking about, that's the thing that I'm like, listen to what he just said. Mm-hmm. That is the hallmark of a totalitarian regime. If you are not on our side, we don't represent you.
Right.
You are them. And we are we. He's.
And that was actually very low on most people's lists of crazy.
Yes,
said.
But for me, I was like, "Whoa! Like, back the fuck up!"
Yeah.
You just said the constituents in these districts who are angry, whether they voted Democrat or Republican, he is contending that they're all Democrats. So who cares? Because
right.
when.
Because we're not working for them, basically.
Right. So those aren't my constituents. They didn't vote for me. No. No. No.
Can you imagine if Obama said that about the Tea Party town halls in 2009 and 2010?
Like, no one is picking up on this, but that was the one thing that I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, literally, not how it works. like, so I had a conversation with my friend from work, the conservative lady. And yeah. we're getting further and further apart on some stuff. It's getting a little more contentious politically, but work-wise and personally, she's delightful. But she said to me at one point, in all seriousness and with, I love her for this. She said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Are we a democracy?" And I said, "Well, we're a democratic republic." And she said, "What's the difference?" And I said, "Well, the people don't vote on laws, right? We vote to elect people who make laws. So we vote to elect people who represent us. And that's the way in which we're a democracy, but we're not a direct democracy in that we don't put a law up and then we all vote for it. And that's how laws are made."
No, like that happens on the state level.
Well, so, right. But the country is a democratic republic.
Right.
And I said, and she was like, "I always kind of wondered the difference." And I was like, "Yeah, that's a fair question." And I said, "The interesting thing is that you live in a state where there is direct democracy in terms of referendums on the ballot, where citizens can just put up shit and citizens vote on it. And there's all kinds of unintended consequences and it can be an absolute nightmare." I was like, "I'm not really a big fan of direct democracy, but that's the difference." And she was like, "Great." And I said, "But, the thing about a democratic republic is that everybody votes and whoever gets the most votes wins, but that person represents everybody that lives in their district or their state or their county or their country or whatever it is, right?"
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how a democratic republic works. So for it's okay that she needed a little clarification on that. The president of the United States not understanding that you have to represent the people who didn't vote for you as well as the people who did is very alarming for me.
Yeah.
Very alarming.
One of many things that's very alarming.
But that's like a fundamental, like, that is a hallmark of a regime, is the only people that we represent are the people who voted for us. Like, it's either you're with us or you're against us, as opposed to every other president in the history of this country who's like, "Let's unify and we represent everyone. I want to be everyone's president, da da da," right? So that was my like big take home from the thing. There's a lot of other stuff.
Well, there's the one that I thought really was very emblematic of his personality disorder and possibly dementia was this guy from this Jewish magazine. What he literally, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but what he literally said was he kind of knew Trump was going to be super defensive, so he made it a point for the first thing to say, like, "Look, I don't think you are anti-Semitic, Donald Trump, and I don't think your administration is anti-Semitic, and my magazine doesn't think you're anti-Semitic."
Right.
But
well, and Trump called on him because he's like, "I want a good question.
Yeah,
I want a good question. You know what? That guy, that Jewish guy, that's going to be a good question. Like, I love Israel. Call on that guy." And the guy was like, "Well, yeah, right, yeah,
right.
Okay."
Right. And he says, and he says, "Yeah, I don't think you're anti-Semitic. Nobody I know thinks you're anti-Semitic, you know, but there have been this rash of threats, of bomb threats at synagogues. You know, how is your administration going to address it?"
Yes.
And Trump completely went off the rails and got hyper defensive and started basically saying, "I'm not an anti-Semite."
Yeah.
And if you look, I actually did much better with all these different ethnic groups. And the guy interrupts and he says, "That's not what I'm asking you, man."
Right.
You
know? Like, there's been 48 bomb threats in the last week to Jewish
and
cultural
so
centers
tells
and
the guy,
churches.
Sit down.
Yeah, sit down.
And
that's
see,
not a fair question, he says. That's not a fair question.
Yeah.
That's not a fair question. It's supposed to be a good question.
Now
and
you
it's
see
not.
What the dishonest media is all about.
Yeah.
And he's just completely losing his mind over a question that A is super easy to answer. You say anti-Semitism is terrible and we're inclusive and we're going to do everything to stop that.
And
sort of thing.
The law enforcement agencies within the federal government are furiously investigating these claims and we are trying to protect these synagogues and it is of absolute national importance for us.
Okay, but you don't even have to go that far. You can say racism is bad and okay, next question, and that's not completely adequate, but it's not crazy, right?
Right.
But Trump took it as a personal attack after the guy said, look, I'm literally not calling you an anti-Semite,
yeah,
and I'm not blaming any of this on you, but there have been these anti-Semitic threats all over the place. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And he says, how dare you call me an anti-Semite?
Sit down. That's not a fair question. It was supposed to be a good question. It's a bad question. Sit down.
That is complete lunacy.
Yes.
That is a crazy person.
That is a crazy person. Yes.
I mean,
like, that's a very, especially the way he prefaced it. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, I'm coming at you like I'm coming at like a wild dog with some treats. I don't think that you're bad.
Yeah.
Here's a cookie,
but, you know, walk with me also, out of the street.
Can you tell me why other dogs are killing people?
Right.
I'll give them treats too. It's not you.
Right.
I'm just asking about the wild dog problem with the attacks.
Right, right.
How dare you say I'm a wild dog? You're an asshole. You don't get a treat. Like, it's crazy. So he's unhinged. And
yeah, and
it's like such a softball question. Like you said, I mean, I think the appropriate response is like, all of our resources are devoted to making sure that these places are protected and like whatever.
Here's where I have a big problem with like our parents, right?
Yeah.
Because if you watch that press conference, and I bet our parents didn't even watch the press conference, to be honest.
No, they watched the news coverage of it after work.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you saw
that. My dad's retired now, so he probably did.
So, but if you think it was a great press conference and you still have Trump, but how do you explain away that part? Like, I want to know, how was that part okay? I mean, what it's like, if are you so hypersensitive that you think, oh, no, the guy was attacking Trump? It's like he obviously and clearly wasn't.
He wasn't asking why Trump was placing bomb threats.
No.
He was saying.
Or anything like you.
He literally said, obviously, you have nothing to do with this and I love you. Can you explain why these crazy people that have nothing to do with you at all, by the way, at all, like they're just crazy and they have nothing to do with you. Like
he was saying, what are you going
to
do to protect us?
But he was separate. That's what I'm saying. He was separating Trump intentionally at the beginning of the question so hard in order to not get the answer he got. And he still got it.
He still got it.
It's crazy. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Like he went out of his way to say, look, this is not a gotcha question.
No.
But I'm worried because.
Yes.
There are
I'm an Orthodox Jew
threats.
And there are all of these bomb threats to synagogues all over the country.
And Trump said, how dare you call me an anti-Semite? Basically. And it's like, dude.
And also sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down. No, that's an unfair question. It's an unfair question to ask what the federal government is going to do with the rash of bomb and terrorist threats against synagogues in this country. I don't know.
And then it was April Ryan, right? That.
Yes.
Asked him about when he's going to meet with the Congressional Black
Caucus. Called it the CBC. And he didn't know what that was.
Well, okay, fine.
And then he
said, give him a pass on that.
The Congressional Black Caucus, she said that. And
yes.
He was like, oh, do you know them? Well, why don't you set up a meeting? Because she's black. And she was like, I'm a reporter. And he was like, but you know them. Like something about them being her friends. And she was like, totally taken aback. And she was like, I know some of them
because
I'm a reporter.
You're the president.
But like, you're the president. If you wanted to meet with them, you could just set up a meeting. And he's like, why don't you set up the meeting? You set it up. I love the Congressional Black Caucus. I love it. They're the best. They're the greatest. I love it. And like her face and my face, don't even get started, but like her face is just stunned.
Yeah, no.
Because all black people know all other black people. They hang out in black people club where there's like, because there's only eight of them. And they just hang out and they all know each other. And then if you need to talk to a black person, you just ask any other black person
and they
can just set up a meeting.
Right.
It's so fucking racist. It's it's insane.
Well, it transcends racist into, again, crazy, unhinged, wild man playing president. And it's like this kind of stuff wouldn't make it into a Saturday Night Live sketch because it's too stupid.
Yeah.
And it's too weird, and yet it's real life.
It's happening in our country,
and
that's the actual president.
Yeah, and this was just a press conference, so I don't know how long.
That's not all.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I mean, there's so much more. Like, he was like, he went off on this insane. I only read the transcript of this part because I was working, but this thing about uranium and nuclear weaponry and Hillary Clinton and like I'm reading it and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, people didn't even talk much about the Hillary Clinton part because it was so unhinged and bizarre they couldn't make heads or tails.
She gave them 20 and we owe, you know what, uranium, it's bad for nukes and other good but bad, and Hillary gave them 20 and there's a plastic button and you're like, the fuck are you talking about?
It was word salad,
just throw Hillary Clinton, nuclear weapons, Holocaust. And
right, well, then he got to Putin and he said, because it made the news lately that they've spotted a Russian intelligence sub 30 miles in international waters, and most intelligence experts are kind of like saying, look, it's not that really that big a deal. They've always been there. That's what they do.
Right.
You know, we have subs off, 30 miles off the coast of Russia. It's just a thing.
Right.
But then it's been in the news lately because of all the Russia stuff and trying to make a bigger deal of it. And then Trump says yesterday, well, you guys would all love me if I just blew that sub out of the water, but it's better to have better relations with Russia because nuclear Armageddon would be like no other.
Yeah.
Were those his wording? I don't know what...
He said nuclear Holocaust.
Nuclear Holocaust.
Because we were already talking about Jews, so we may as well just throw Holocaust in there.
Well, he couldn't say Jews on Holocaust Memorial Day.
I know.
But, so he says, would be like no other. And like, man, when he is off script, he is bad.
I mean...
what was he talking about?
I don't know, like... Molly and I were texting during work and like, she's like,
she
well,
watching it.
It's here. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, maybe we should move our lunch date up. Cause she works in downtown now to like yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know she worked in downtown.
So that we get to see each other before he starts a fucking nuclear war. And she's like, I was like, just thinking practically. She's like, good point. She's like, but really,
well,
like,
he's not going to start a nuclear war because Russia's not going to bomb themselves, and they're pulling all the strings as long as he's presidente.
Uh huh. So. And he talked about how like I don't have any debt to Russia, I don't have any ties to Russia, I don't have any business deals in Russia, I don't know shit about Russia, I don't know anything about Russia.
He said that in the press conference.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
See, when you're having to say that in a press conference, it's pretty bad. Of course, he's on Letterman a couple years ago talking about all the business deals in Russia.
Yeah.
Kushner's like, talking about all the business deals in Russia. And Paul Manafort had to get kicked out of the campaign because of all the business deals in Russia.
And so Michael Flynn just had to resign because he was talking to Russia. Fuck's sake.
Well, let's get back to Flynn because it's been a whole week. And last time we were only talking about how Flynn is in deep shit. And
you and I were sort of saying, like, obviously this is what's going to happen. But
I don't remember even what we said.
Oh, we were just talking about like,
because two days later he got the axe.
Exactly. Yeah. Like 2 days after everything we said was true.
Well, we were speculating that he could just die on that hill.
We were speculating and we were absolutely right. And, what we need. Okay. Well, explain, would you just, in case anyone's not totally clear on exactly what happened, because there's a lot of people that aren't clear on it.
It's an unfolding situation as we speak.
Right. But as of a Friday night, the 17th of February, mm-hmm. Michael Flynn has resigned.
Yeah. He resigned like Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. And he resigned because there's documented evidence that he spoke to the Russians on behalf of the incoming administration before Donald Trump was inaugurated.
Yes, addressing sanctions that the sitting administration had just put into place.
Correct.
Which is a violation of several laws.
Of everything. You can't undercut the sitting... it's a nightmare. Then there was new evidence presented that he and some other people in the Trump campaign prior to election night
had communication
with Russia.
With Russian intelligence officials.
Right.
Senior Russian intelligence officials.
Correct. And we have evidence that Russia tampered with our election.
And we should add that this is just sort of breaking now. Comey met today with the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they are all very grim-faced and tight-lipped about what was discussed. So there are other shoes to drop, clearly.
Yes.
And
all the other bullshit, this press conference and all this noise.
And the is campaign all rally he's doing tomorrow.
The campaign rally, he's already started 2020. All of that shit, all of it, everything he's doing, being loud and boisterous and obnoxious.
It's a distraction.
And, it's a distraction from the treason that he committed during his campaign, period.
Right.
He colluded with the Russians to tamper with our election. He won. Then he undercut the sitting president of the United States by sending a top aide to make deals before he was fucking there's so many laws that were broken here.
And he's also challenged the American intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
Basically, like, I dare you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. F me. I dare you. And now the intelligence agencies, there's lots of politics within them themselves.
Yeah.
We know there's a pro-Trump faction within the FBI.
There's also a real big pushback that's happening within the intelligence communities, particularly in the CIA.
Yeah, and there's factions within the CIA. I mean, all of these, and then there's rivalries between agencies. There's inter-agency politics.
Yeah.
There's
intra-agency
politics. It's crazy, but yeah, there. These
the more he taunts them, and the more he says, like,
well, yeah, I don't think that's gonna.
It's work not well for him. Good. No. You shouldn't do that.
No,
please. They'll just go find whatever Russia has on you and you're done.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's not still in office, but and certainly Comey's no J. Edgar Hoover. But Comey, at a certain point, as much as I still would like an explanation of why James Comey decided to, he had to keep a lid on all the Russia-Trump campaign collusion.
Uh-huh.
But every time something
he got an email popped up, he had to start an investigation publicly.
Right.
Yeah, but we didn't need an investigation publicly about the potential hacking of our election by Russia. That needed to be under wraps for national security.
Either Comey is
her fucking campaign staffers said like Bernie Sanders sucks, and we have to open an investigation immediately.
Well, no, that's separate. That's the WikiLeaks stuff.
Yeah, but all right. But you know what I mean.
Comey is either incredibly dense.
Nope.
And just clueless.
Nope. You don't get to that position.
He tried to play a hand in this somehow, and now he's forced to deal. But see, now retroactively he's going to do his job now that Trump became president. I mean, what is the point then? I don't understand this guy at all. I
don't know.
I really think he's just completely incompetent from a political sense. He may be a great investigator. I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't either. I don't know if he just hates the Clintons. Or
lots of people do.
Yeah. No, they definitely have some enemies at high levels.
Oh, yes.
That would like, I don't care. I will literally burn the country down just to see them fail. We know that given their public history and also everything that's happened.
Well, this is why you should be really, really worried if you're in the Trump administration, right? The senior members of the Senate Intelligence Committee walk out of this meeting today with Comey all grim and stone-faced. And the Democrats and the Republicans, and nobody wants to say anything. And if this was hey, we're going to whitewash this thing, you can bet the Democrats would be talking.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking.
Yeah.
So you would think there's something big brewing here.
Yes.
And you would think that Marco Rubio, who really, really wants to be president in 2020 and doesn't want to be tied, you would think, to this fucking Titanic, would make his mark. Want to make his mark by exposing the Russian collusion.
It could be that it's so bad that they have to strategize how to impeach him at this point.
Well, right. Keep in mind, we are 4 weeks into this administration.
Correct.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. To the day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they all came out stone-faced and grim and no one said anything, even people that hate him, it's bad, and they are gonna have to strategize what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
And they can't tell us right now because it's God knows.
This could be
explosive. Not hookers pissing on him. It's definitely something much, much grander than that.
Russia is saving those pun intended Trump cards.
Yeah.
If they need him, if Trump decides, oh boy, there's too much pressure, I need to turn around and rattle my saber towards Russia, which he's so in hock to them. If anybody bothered to read all the stuff that was out there, the connections to the Russian mob and the Kremlin and Putin directly, go way deeper than people realize. And, yes. and this is not like wild fucking...
Alex Jones conspiracy theory. No, this is well like documented.
Documented stuff. Yeah, it's yeah. out there yeah. and it's been admitted to by the highest up people themselves.
Yes.
By Kushner, by Manafort. It's yeah. all there. We
right.
know who's bankrolled.
We just need somebody to fucking connect the dots.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, journalists maybe. Isn't that sort of their job?
Well, now they're into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was much more fun chasing down phantoms... getting favors from the Clinton Foundation, not really mm-hmm. though, and something email server. You know, Chuck Todd today. Okay, let's get to the tweet. I know we're kind of jumping around
right.
here, but there's
yeah.
so much
there,
to process.
It's, you guys, we do this once a week, and
yeah, we should do it.
We
every
could
day.
Do it every day, but we don't have actual lives.
Yeah,
and you know,
no,
things to do.
Apologies to our friend Kegro, who we love that.
Oh,
does this every day.
God, I yes, but I can't like. I have to go to work and like, you know, go on dates and shit. It's fucking hard.
Well, how do you know he doesn't go on dates?
I don't. I just have a lot of shit going on in my life is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. So at some point this afternoon, is Friday the 17th, is a couple days later when you'll be hearing it probably, but a tweet came out with typical bad grammar and weird spacing saying something that the press is not my enemy. It's the enemy of the American people.
The fake news failing at...
Well, I'm
what
talking
was
about
it?
The one that got taken down.
Right yeah, now. This is the one. He's like, fake news at failing CNN, NBC, and...
New York Times.
New York Times.
Somebody else.
Is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. Sad.
Right, and then it got taken
I read
down.
It like five times because I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What?
Trump tweeted this. It got taken down like a minute later, and everybody's speculation was, if you can tell, I spend too much time on Twitter at work.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Let's not tell.
Yeah. Shh, don't ask, don't tell. And then so we took it down, and everybody's speculation was, okay, well, wow, that really was an unhinged tweet, and you know, maybe Kushner has the Twitter password and he took it down. That's what I speculated.
Mm.
And, you know, okay, he thought better of it. But no, because 20 minutes later, he tweeted it again, but he took away sad and he fixed some of the spacing issues so he could squeeze in another network. I think it was CBS or ABC. He couldn't squeeze in the first one. So, I mean, we laugh about it, but it's horrifying.
Of course it is. I mean, I don't mean to laugh to make fun, but what the fuck else am I going to do?
Right, right.
I mean, we have to take our joy where we can get it. But no, I mean, it's obviously horrifying. And
the point I was getting to was Chuck Todd then tweeted, hey, yay, this is a bridge too far. We'd be calling each other the enemy. Let's walk it back. And I was like, I said, Chuck, dude, not that me and Chuck are on a first name basis or he knows or cares who I am, even though we both grew up a couple blocks away from each other.
Yeah.
I was like, Chuck, dude, we're way past that. And, you know, maybe while you guys were hyperventilating over email servers during the campaign, could have noticed fascism was taking hold. Here we are.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think
it's
smacking these people upside the head like,
yeah.
Oh shit, yeah, this is real.
My job was to expose this before it happened, mm-hmm. and now you're exposing it after and being like,
and you're saying,
let's
hey.
Rein it in here. No, it's over. Fascism is here. There will be camps. There will be roundups. There will be...
attempted.
Or potentially a military coup.
Attempted.
The military could just decide, like, go fuck yourself.
A lot depends with how far Congress is willing to go with this. And that still remains to be
seen. Well, something I want to talk about this that derailed my whole day and made me have a lot of thoughts. I woke up this morning and there was this crazy, you know, tweet thing about this crazy... notion that Trump was going to send 100,000 National Guard troops into southern states and including Colorado, where
border
there's
states,
a large, border states where there's a large immigrant population and round people up.
Mostly border states. Some of them.
And I was like, okay, well, that's clearly not true. So I'm Googling it and I'm trying to find like a news source and it's the Associated Press is reporting this. And they're reporting this because they have a leaked memo from the White House that is literally saying we're going to deploy 100,000 National Guard. It says a lot of other stuff about his immigration policy, but the part that they were talking about was deploying 100,000 National Guard troops to these like seven states plus the states that border those states, which is about 11. Colorado is one of them, which is where I fucking live.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a white hot panic. It did also say that like the governors of these states would have to authorize.
Yeah,
those
they
troops.
Control the National Guard.
And so obviously Hick is Hick. By that I mean John Hickenlooper.
And California and Oregon and Washington are not
right.
Play
not
going
to do it. But like, but that's a terrifying thing to come out of the administration. So I'm freaking out. Like I literally woke up and after reading a couple of lovely text messages, that's the first thing I saw, and literally just like cold sweat
mm-hmm.
all over my body because it's a military state at that point.
Right.
And so, as the day wore on, they denied it, the administration.
Well, they denied even they ever talked about it.
Right.
Spicy got up there and said, you're right. making this up. This is crazy.
This is we fake never, news. Yeah, this is fake news.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not.
No.
It's the Associated Press that, someone from the White House leaked that this memo was going around.
Yes.
My point about all of this is...
And the only thing the AP article said was that this was the plan.
This was under consideration is what they said. Under consideration. They did not say this was happening.
Right.
All the governors that were able to be contacted by the time the last update that I read said, we haven't heard anything about this. The point is not that it's happening. The point is that it's under consideration. But the larger point that I was going to make was that part of the resistance, part of how we're going to prevent some of the worst things that he plans to do
mm-hmm.
is by stuff like that.
By
that could very well yeah. have been exactly what was going to happen.
Under the darkness of night or...
Yeah. And somebody with some moral conscience in the White House leaked it. Because they knew that this was crazy and wrong and horrifying. And they knew that if there was enough...
if they had already scrapped it, they knew it would
pressure.
Embarrass the crap out of...
Well, they hadn't already scrapped it. But even if they had. But the what I'm saying is I think that a lot of the stuff that we are so doom and gloom about would absolutely come to pass. If not for the press, mm-hmm. if not for the brave people in the White House who were leaking shit, if mm-hmm. not for public pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't currently live in a place where our media is controlled by the government.
Not yet.
And we're lucky for that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say we're lucky. It's our goddamn right. But we are lucky among many countries that we still have a free press. And that free press is... a huge component in fighting back this agenda. Like if that had not been leaked, it could have started to be implemented without anyone knowing. And I feel like the leaks are either some brave soul inside the Trump White House leaking stuff to make sure it doesn't happen, or
they're desperately trying to find,
or a balloon. I wonder sometimes if it's a balloon that the administration is sending up and saying, how will this go over?
Let's see how this plays, yeah.
It's a leak. We hate it. It's not true. Of course we wouldn't do that once we get the poll numbers back.
I think you're giving
once
them too much
credit. We figure it out.
I
do too.
Too savvy and too organized.
I agree. But that's one of two possibilities. It's literally either people in there going, oh my God, we can't send the fucking National Guard into 11 American states to round people up, leak it so that they don't do it. Or somebody's really savvy and they're like, leak it and see what happens. If people are really happy about it, we'll do it. If they're not, we'll say, oh, no, that was we didn't do that. That's ridiculous. There's no question that that memo exists in the White House and was talked about.
Of course it does.
But my point is sort of like, it's good that it's leaked, but like, we can't be making policy by like, counting on some staffer being like, this is horrible. Like, you know, like,
but that's how we're
That's how we're doing it. Right, yeah, now. That's how we're getting to know what's actually happening in the White House, is some poor staffer being like, all right, this is a bridge too far for me.
Well, that brings me back to another insane part of Trump's press conference, because they asked him about the leaks. And of course, he's like, the leaks are terrible. We're going to find the leaks. They're sharing.
The leaks are real.
The leaks are real. We're finding, they're sharing classified info, but the news is fake.
Yes.
And so they asked him, well, hold on a second. If the leaks are real, how can the news be fake? Oh, no, the leaks are real, but what you're reporting is fake.
He said, the leaks are 100% real. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. That's a direct quote. That does not answer the question of, you can't have it both ways. You can't have, I hate that these leaks are coming out of my White House. They're absolutely 100% real and they're awful. You reporting on them, fake.
Well, right. The substance of what you're reporting is fake, but what's the material of the leaks is obviously real, because otherwise, if it was fake leaks, we would just deny them.
Yes.
So, which sometimes they do anyway, but...
No, he's not, though. Well, That's the weird thing about Trump. He's categorically not denying that these are real leaks.
Are his supporters that stupid or also brain damaged enough to... accept a sentence like that at face value and move on?
So,
I
had a conversation with one today about this very thing. So I was reading this and I was like, okay, I don't even care how like sycophantic you are. That's crazy. Yeah. The leaks can't be real and the things be fake. And this is the response that I got. I think what he's saying is... that the leaks are coming out of the White House, but they're being misreported on. So the reporters are getting the leaks, and then they're lying about what the leaks are.
Based on what?
I like Trump.
So they're just filling in the blanks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's how bad it is.
Okay. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that.
I don't either. I'm just telling you. I'm literally like, I have a couple of feet in the other side.
Well, that's good. It's smart to do that. And so do I.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But we both have a couple feet in the other side, some covertly, some not as covertly. And we're trying to figure out a couple of things, I think. One, we can clearly see what's happening. And it's so confusing what's happening on the other side that it's really a good idea to like covertly sort of get in there and figure out what their thought processes are.
Okay.
And two, talk about your, like, that's what I do. I sort of try to get in there and like, how does your brain work that makes that not a contradictory
issue? I know with the people I talk to, it's very simple. It's just a cult of personality.
Yeah.
It's dear leader, you know, Kim Jong-il. What, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. He's our dear leader, and whatever he says goes.
And the reason for that mostly is like compounded or like by racism and sexism and Islamophobia.
Mistrust of the mainstream media, whatever. It doesn't have to make sense. And you know, these are people of very deep abiding faith to begin with. So they've put their critical thinking skills away a long time ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it all fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in somebody like your friend.
Yeah.
Who is a little smarter than that.
Yeah.
And something completely contradictory and that makes no sense. So she rationalizes it by trying to make sense of it in a way that really makes no sense at all, but could make sense if it was a different universe.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Well,
and then she's also
do that every single day. It'll have to drive her crazy.
Yeah, no, she's exhausted. We talked about it today. She's exhausted.
Well then why bother? Why keep going? How about just saying I fucked up?
No. It's the same with my dad. Okay? It's different. So I want to talk about this for a minute. This is a little personal, but it's true.
Okay.
What I've noticed among the Trump supporters in my life is that there is an increasing level of defensiveness about their vote.
Well, sure.
And so the conversation around Trump is getting more and more heated. It used to be, give him a chance and he'll be fine and you'll be surprised and da-da-da-da-da, right?
Sure.
Now it's like, I think they're like, oh, fuck. Like, liberal panic wasn't a joke and I don't like what he just said and I don't like that press conference. And I literally was talking to my friend and
Or whether they like it or not, oh God, that's embarrassing.
It's
or,
embarrassing.
Oh God, that makes no sense.
Right.
Or oh God, this looks bad.
Yes.
Right.
And there's a lot of rationalization going on, and there's a lot of, so from one end, from her end, it's more like rationalization and like there must be an explanation, and I'll, but she's very good about like looking up the facts. And I called Putin a mass murdering fuckhead, and she was like, about 5 minutes later, she was like, why do you think he's a murderer? And so I explained to her the whole like KGB, FSB poisonings and murders and journalists and political dissidents and all the things. And I sent her a couple of articles, and then.
And you didn't just tell her, you said, here, read this, look at this.
Yeah. And this is not coming from like opinion news. This is coming from like the UN.
Fact-based.
The UN human rights report, and like, you know, legitimate sources of media that are not news, that are that are like reports about stuff. And she started reading through it, and she said, well, at first, okay, here's where the defensiveness comes in. She's like, there's all these mysterious deaths, but no one's really tied them to Putin. And I was like, well, no, that's not true. And she's like, what it sounds like to me is like the 20 plus deaths that Clinton was accused of. And I was like, okay, let's just back up. Because you're a reasonable person. You're starting to sound like my dad. Putin is a former member of the KGB. Mm-hmm. And it's very much alive and well. And I couldn't remember that it was the FSB. She looked it up and told me later. And I said, there are many people that are political dissidents and people that have been locked up. I told her about Pussy Riot, which I had to whisper very quietly in my office. She'd never heard of them. So I sent her the whole article, like many articles about Pussy Riot and like people that have gotten out of jail in Russia and fled to the United States, particularly people in the news media who have told their stories. And so I find it very credible. Conspiracy theorists on the internet talking about like Vince, whatever the Hillary
Vince
Clinton,
Foster.
Right. Come on. We're talking about facts and conspiracy theories. And she's very like fact based. If you can give her a set of facts, at least I can convince her for a couple days. So we talked about that for a while. And then
you need to introduce her to Snopes.com.
Yeah. But it's more than that. Like she, her mom's liberal, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And so she's in her mom, but her mom's one of those liberals that like doesn't read the news. Like she doesn't read the facts. So she's just spouting, you know, the most liberal bullshit that you can think of, like liberal conspiracy theories. And then her daughter is spouting conspiracy theories from the right, and they're just not speaking the same language, which I can relate to. She's like, so I told my mom at one point, cause they were talking about Putin and Russia and like, why is he in Syria? And her mom was saying like, he's trying to build the next great empire for Russia. And Don was like, okay, I'm going to prove, I'm going to do my research tonight. I'm going to try to prove your point. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be that open-minded. I'm going to try to find evidence to prove that. So she did. And I don't know anything about this until the next day. Today, she comes into work and she's like, tells me the story. And she's like, I couldn't find any, but here's what I found out. There's three reasons that Putin is in Syria. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for like, oh God, but she's absolutely 100% right. She did her research and she's 100% right.
Yeah.
She's like, it's good for Russian interests to have Assad, the head of the regime, because mm-hmm. they are allies in the area. And
it used to be good for the United States too.
Yeah.
Some still think it is.
Yeah. She's like, it's good for them to test the modern military devices and stuff that they're using. It's a good place to test that stuff. She's like, I'm not saying any of this is good, but none of this is about making a new empire. All of this is like, he's an asshole, but
it's all very
what my mom said is not true. It's
pragmatic.
Very practical.
Yeah.
And I was like, she just read off all of these very true facts that are exactly correct.
Understand about Putin. He's not a maniac. He's a tyrannical asshole.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Correct. He does everything for his own interest.
Yes.
And yeah. So we got into this crazy conversation about Russia and the Orthodox Church and like all this stuff. But like her she literally went and did a bunch of research about Russia and Syria and found the top three reasons why they're there. And she was 100% factually accurate with zero political bias.
Right.
And I was impressed. I was like, that's all exactly correct. And it has nothing to do with him being a strong leader or Obama was weak or we didn't want to fight ISIS hard enough. So he went in and she's like, you know, I feel like ISIS was a bonus for him. He could just put it on the resume of like, yeah, defeated ISIS. But the three reasons he went in had nothing to do with that. It was all about like money, power, and testing military might.
They use that as propaganda.
But this is my like conservative Trump voting friend who says that to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but we know
correct.
That. Every time Putin says I'm fighting
you
ISIS,
gotta like
bombing rebels.
Give her some fucking mad credit.
Oh, for doing her research?
Liberal
absolutely.
Friends that I have do not know as much as she does now about that.
No, because they don't bother to do the research.
Goddamn
they
right.
Just re-spout the talking points.
And she's just does not willing to do that. And I give her like mad respect, like mad respect. I was like, that's everything you've said is exactly correct. What did your mom say? And she was like, no, he just wants to expand the Soviet Union and build another wall. And I was like, liberals on the fuck. And we're all awful. If everyone could be as diligent and thoughtful. And there are some things that...
Isn't that just a total aside? Think about the age we're in, the information age, and the
yeah.
what the means of information at our disposal with the internet and social media. And we've gone the other way.
Yeah.
Because...
It's too much.
Those mediums are great for spreading all kinds of information and not
any
necessarily
kind.
Good information.
Uh-huh.
And it sort of naturally lends itself to... biased information in that people seek out whatever they already want to hear or believe.
Yes.
And
yes.
And there's ways that people with divergent interests can use that.
Yes. And we talked about that later too. Like we talked about a lot of stuff today because her bosses were out of town and mine were busy, but we talked about a lot of shit. But like one of the things was like how the media has become, in my opinion, a little defunct because you don't have to watch the news if you scroll through Facebook all day.
True.
You know?
But you know what?
But you do because the shit, like she pulled up yes. this video at one point because she's very, like, very with the anti-refugee thing. That's a thing that she and I fundamentally disagree on. We discuss it at length. But she pulls up this video from Facebook. And it's this video of supposedly Muslims protesting in London today.
Sure.
With ISIS flags, and they're saying, they're all speaking a different language. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which dialect or version they're speaking, but they're all speaking not English, and there's no translation. Mm-hmm. And the Facebook post tells you what they're saying, which is, sure. we're going to kill all Jews, all Christians, all Americans. We're going to take over England, and we're going to input Sharia law. Mm-hmm. So she shows it to me, because she's really trying to prove, like, we've been fighting about this refugee thing, not right. fighting, but discussing this for days. And she's showing it to me as, like, evidence. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. So I want you to source that video for me. And she's like, I was like, if there was an ISIS protest in London today, don't you think it would make national, international news? And she was like, yes. And I was like, I feel like rather than your friend's Facebook post, we should source that video, figure out when it was, where it was, and what happened. And if it was today and that's actually happening, that's pretty terrifying. But let's actually find out what happened. And she like sort of shut the video down and she was like, yeah, okay. And I didn't hear shit about it the rest of the day. And I didn't look it up because I was really busy today. But
there's no need
for it. But there's a need for like, I understand that you want to believe that's happening because you're so terrified and you need evidence for that fear.
We all get caught up in that. Sure.
I do too. But you have to stop and go, okay, if that's really happening right now, like when I saw that report this morning about 100,000 National Guard troops, I was like, this is fake news. There's no fucking way. And then it was like, oh, it's the AP. oh, it's a memo directly from the White House. Yeah, right. And it's only under consideration.
But
it's not that it's happening. It's under consideration, but it was bone-chillingly terrifying.
But doesn't that make you sort of realize the method to the madness of what Trump is doing and trying to delegitimize all the press but Fox yes. News and Breitbart?
Yeah.
In that if something is... If the Facebook post of the people in London chanting death to all the Jews and infidels and Americans, and, well, none of the international press is covering it, then you can turn around and say, well, of course they're not covering it because they're in on the mm-hmm. on the scam.
Right. This is how regimes are built.
But Fox News had
this
it.
This is how regimes are built.
Yeah.
This is it.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the latest cabinet appointments, including the guy named to the EPA who wants to literally destroy it.
And I got some Colorado politics.
All right, sounds good. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Hello and welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. So, I guess at this time last week, we're talking about Betsy DeVos.
Uh-huh.
And we actually had one of Trump's awful, horrible cabinet nominees withdraw. That was Pudzer.
Yes.
Who was renowned for yes. wage theft and awful, horrible business practices with Hardee's, which is the restaurant chain that he owns, and as well as Carl's Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Carl's Jr., very overrated.
So, I like their Western burger if I'm in a pinch. But, yeah, so the person who would run the department who controls labor relations in this country is... famous mostly for hurting the labor that works for him.
Yeah, forcing people to clock out and sit in their cars if things are slow.
Yeah, and overtime. Just keep working, and I'm not going to pay you more, and I'm not going to pay you at all. And yeah, we call it wage theft.
Yes.
And it's not like I'm making this up. He was sued. It was class action.
Business owners and Republicans really seem to love.
Well, but he. This is public record.
Yes,
he was sued. He lost. It was true. He did all these things.
Yeah,
that's the guy who should be in charge of workers.
Right.
So,
according to Trump.
Yes.
Which makes perfect sense because Trump loves stiffing people who do a hard day's work.
Yes. So that guy withdrew.
He withdrew, but he only not because of any of that stuff that came to light. He withdrew because a tape surfaced that featured his wife going incognito on Oprah 10, yes. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
In the 90s. Talking about how she was a victim of horrible domestic violence.
Right. It was a segment Oprah did about, like, you don't have to be poor to be beaten, essentially.
Okay, yeah.
And his wife was like, yeah, this happened. And like,
but she was anonymous on the show. She didn't reveal her name or.
Right. And then later she recanted.
Yes.
And that was all they needed to be like, see, it's fine. Can I just quickly...
Like she just decided to go on Oprah on a whim and say, my husband's beating me. Because that's what women do,
she
right?
wanted just, the publicity. Like oh, wait, she was anonymous, so why would she do it? Because
right,
maybe
just like women show up at police stations and say, I was raped.
Right, because
yeah, I'm bored.
It's so much fun. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, rape kits
are a blast.
Yeah.
And the process of the judicial system
is just
a riot show. I mean, it's the most fun thing you
being
could ever possibly do.
Interrogated by cops?
Literally interrogated?
Yeah, asking you.
And then being put on the stand and being grilled by a defense attorney about how much of a slut you are
is
so much fun.
Right, yeah.
You would not believe it.
Yeah. It's just
so
if you're bored,
women
you know.
Just do this because they just want attention.
Right, right. They want the attention.
They just want the attention. Mm-hmm. Or they're vindictive and they just want to get back at him.
Yeah, because he was mean.
I want to put myself through 3 years of fucking torture because I'm just so mad. Yeah, so the recantation doesn't affect me in any way. I don't give a shit. No. Obviously, he had higher political ambitions and managed to quiet her and make her recant. And that is what happens even for people who do not have political ambitions. Oftentimes, women who are abused or assaulted recant because they fear for the repercussions at home. So, anyway, that guy took his name out of the hat. So we've got Michael Flynn resigned.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Labor Secretary, wife-beating piece of shit.
Pulled
was
out.
Like, I'm good. I'm out.
Now they actually want to put a South Florida guy in there, this guy Acosta, who
yeah.
was actually dean of the law school where I graduated. I didn't graduate from law school, but Florida International University.
Yeah.
He was dean of the FIU yeah. law school.
So I can
briefly
say...
Briefly considered going to.
Yeah.
Where I decided, fuck that.
Yeah. I can say
in law school
a much
in general,
more...
Not just FIU law school.
Much more qualified pick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He was like... on the NLRB, which is the National Labor Relations Board.
No, he
he's an attorney.
Yeah.
He's actually past. Something of a like qualified candidate.
Way better than this tool.
I'm the CEO of Arby's or fucking Hardee's or who cares? Fuck you. This guy's at least like, you know, qualified
yes.
for the role. I think he's bad for it and I will protest it, but not to the extent that I would
have this
Putzer
guy. He's actually
got
quite a bit of bipartisan support.
He does.
Surprisingly.
And I think that the administration is getting smarter about these cabinet picks because, you know, Michael Flynn was controversial. DeVos is controversial. There's a lot of controversy around
the... I think DeVos is regretting her decision.
Oh, yeah,
lately.
She hates it. Like, she's being literally... physically blocked from entering school buildings by teachers and students.
Good.
And on camera being turned away and having to get back into her big old minivan or whatever, her government car to go, she's turned away from schools. They're like, you're literally not allowed to step foot in this public school because all you're going to do is dismantle it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a bummer, I guess, for her. So she's rethinking this whole thing. But I think that, the administration is getting a little smarter about, okay, we can't just put people we know that have money because it turns out those people are super corrupt or super
that,
unqualified.
That they're
and
getting
so,
smarter. They're
well,
just, they're
I
getting
think
turned
going
away
from Putzer
class.
To this guy is getting smarter.
Sure,
like
but
at
I,
least
I,
this person,
I don't think Trump knew this guy. I think he asked, okay, well, who do we put in this role? Well, there's this guy. He was
who hates labor the most. Put him there.
I don't even think it's the case with this guy.
That's Putzer, though.
Right.
This
I'm
guy
saying,
is
I'm
like, they're like, all right, find somebody who's at least minimally qualified for this job, but who also, you know, in his history does not have a great track record with labor.
Not the best. No.
But at least he served on the NLRB. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has some experience with this department. That's what I mean by getting smarter. Just like being so grossly unqualified as Betsy DeVos, they're trying to like minimize that a little bit, I think.
Okay.
He's garbage, but at least he's, you know, qualified or whatever.
Well, and now there's
and
EPA.
Then Pruitt.
Pruitt from Oklahoma.
Hey, Trav, do you like breathing?
Usually, yeah.
What do you like breathing? Air?
Oxygen.
Okay.
Typically without carcinogens in
cool.
it. Or
do you like
particles.
You like it to be like pretty clean?
Yeah, fairly clean, you know.
Yeah.
So that it can oxygenate my blood.
Right, and not give you diseases.
Yeah, I'd prefer it that way.
What do you like to drink other than alcohol?
I guess water.
Water.
Yeah.
Do you prefer that water to be like...
without lead and sediment and radioactive particles and feces. Yeah. For the most part.
Cool. Too bad.
Oh.
That's over now.
What about climate change?
What do you mean? Climate change?
What about so much fracking that there are literal
Wait, hold on. Go back to climate change. That's a liberal myth.
Chinese myth.
I'm sorry that it was 80 degrees in Colorado on February 14th.
Valentine's Day. Broke another record.
The world just loved us so much that it got warm. Today, it was, what was the high? 75 degrees on February 17th.
Record high was 66, 7, something like that.
But don't worry about it. Yeah. Global warming is nonsense.
They're getting 5 inches of rain in LA.
Travis, can't you just be happy for nice days? Can't you just be happy that it was 75 degrees today?
Yeah.
Global warming is nonsense.
Yeah.
We don't need clean air and water acts.
No.
Obviously, we can go back to the late 60s and corporations can protect us because they'll regulate themselves.
And Lake Erie can catch on fire?
Yeah. Obviously. Do we really need an EPA? Let's be honest.
The new head of the EPA doesn't seem to think so.
Literally.
Yeah, it's open season now.
It's over. good luck with breathing and drinking water,
clean water and
having an earth. We're done. It's over. We're done. This guy is squarely...
In
the open embracing arms of the oil and gas industry.
Just let chaos reign.
Oh yeah. I mean, and there needs to be no regulation.
None.
Because it just stifles business.
Yeah.
And capitalism is more important than the literal earth that we all have to live on, including capitalists have to live on this earth.
And breathing and
by the way, you can have all the privilege that you want. The environment does not recognize privilege. And so all those white dudes are also fucked.
Oh yeah.
So
they don't realize it yet.
No, of course not. I guess they could buy like really fancy masks that protect them.
Filters
and
that'll help a little bit.
Special water that hasn't been polluted yet. But like, other than that, like if we have no earth, we don't have capitalism anymore. So it's crazy town. He's like next to Jeff Sessions. He's my like,
well, I was thinking about that. It's been this progression, like, oh God, it can't be worse than Tillerson, can it? Oh yeah, here's mm-hmm. DeVos. Oh my mm-hmm. God, it can't be worse. Oh yeah, here's Sessions. Okay, it can't be
Sessions
any worse.
Is the worst for me. And then it goes Pruitt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pruitt's
absolutely.
Next, DeVos.
Yeah, then DeVos.
You would
yeah.
say Ben Carson, but Carson's probably not going to really do much.
Well, he hasn't been confirmed yet, so. No, he could seriously negatively impact the lives of the most marginalized people in our country in a way that will make me want to burn the building down.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in public housing, even though he grew up in it.
No, of course not. Just like Paul Ryan doesn't believe in Social Security, although he used it to get by.
Right.
He needed it to survive.
Right. Yeah. It's
give me Tarianism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me, not you.
Yeah.
No, yeah. This Pruitt guy is a goddamn nightmare, and it's almost a laughable nightmare. And I think you are going to see heavy, heavy resistance. And I think all the crazy town halls when, see, this is another problem for them, though, because you know what? 20, 30 years ago, you put a Pruitt in to dump all kinds of carcinogens into your water. You might read something about that in the local press, or that might get run on the nightly news. Now, in the age of Twitter and social media, everybody in Podunk is going to know that the big company is dumping shit into their water.
Yes.
And I think that these congressmen are going to have a hard time with that. Now, this is why This is why 2018 becomes so very crucial, because you can put Heinrich Himmler in charge of the EPA. If Congress is there to set appropriations and pass laws and stymie yes. other shit, there's a limit to his control.
That's right.
If it is still Republican supermajorities in the House and controlling the Senate in 2 years, then yeah, kiss the EPA goodbye and kiss clean air and clean water goodbye forever.
Breathing, drinking water.
And forget about doing anything for climate change.
Oh, that's like the greater issues of our time that we were dealing with under Obama.
Yeah,
that's off the table.
Right.
I don't even care.
And just
it's literally
just
like
spite, really.
Surviving at this point.
Yes.
Like I'm trying to hold the republic together and survive and allow the people that I love and the most marginalized people to literally survive, not to be deported and separated from their families, be able to breathe air that is not polluted, drink water that is not full of lead, be able to control their own bodies and be able to not be electroshock therapied out of being who they are. This is basic survival mode at this point.
So
we are
all
so
you,
far beyond climate change and whether or not feminism matters. Like, it's very much survival mode. It is basic, basic rights at this point.
So all you Jill Stein and Bernie Sanders or bust types that were very worried that Hillary Clinton just wasn't, you know, there were some questionable things on her environmental record in the Goldman Sachs speeches. Congrats.
Go fuck yourself.
Your arson worked, I guess. Everybody's worst nightmare is coming true, and your water may be more pure because your liberal heart is more pure, but I think that the same carcinogens in the water and air are going to affect you too. And
go drink lead. You made this happen. You did. You made this happen. This is the crazy thing. This is the thing that, like,
there,
is
there was
killing
a clear
me.
Chance to stop this.
And you decided not to. This has come up a couple times this week, not only with my parents, because we had a huge blowout this week. We're not even speaking the same language at this point. Sure. It's just like he's just reciting crazy right-wing nonsense that is not based in fact and isn't willing to listen to facts.
Well, one thing you mentioned earlier that I want to talk about
is
that a lot of the Trump supporters who aren't just the crazy, you know, deplorable Bob with the Pepe the Frog avatar people.
Yeah.
They're very defensive, or
they're getting
a
little defensive
and they're quiet.
Yeah. And they're getting like, but so they're quiet, but they're also, when you confront them about their vote, when you start talking to them about the stuff that you're worried about, that they were like, well, don't take him at his word,
take him at his actions.
Hold on.
I was going to get to that.
Oh,
you're seeing something similar with the Bernie or Bust Stein people. Most of them just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
The first couple weeks after the election, they wanted to talk about it. Say, I told you so. Mm-hmm. If you all voted for Jill Stein, we would have been great off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're just not talking. Because it's kind of like sinking in, like, oh God, this is real.
Right.
Oh God, I had a chance to do something about this and I didn't because I thought I could afford a protest vote.
It's Googling what is Brexit. Right?
Well,
it's,
you know, it's even this, people we it's, know who know better than that.
But right, but we're right. But like it's the same sentiment of like, oh no, wait. Oh fuck. And yeah, maybe your one vote didn't matter, but all of you as a whole, you did this.
Well, here's my oh God, here is what drives me nuts because people seem to just have short memories. We went through this shit with the Nader people.
Yes.
Nader picked up 1.52% in Florida and it swung the election.
Yep.
And those people came out later and they had after 2 years, they had a mea culpa. They said, oh, you know what? Our bad. We were stupid. We effed up.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Very, very few of them stuck to the guns and said, well, if Al Gore wasn't such a crappy candidate and the DNC didn't suck, they were like, no, dude, we should have voted for Gore. Just push the party left. What were we thinking? And it was the same fucking people.
Yes.
By and large, the Michael Moores and Susan Sarandons and the same people, some of them we know, that did the same thing again. And it's like, how many times do you have to get bitten on the ass to realize?
Yes.
Don't you think it would have been better elect Hillary Clinton and then push her to the left and try to primary some Dems who aren't left enough for you and keep pushing the agenda in the right direction?
Yes.
Then, okay, let's go with fascism and now the world will get woke or whatever horse shit they're spouting.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what makes you think this was a good idea other than you are so privileged and you're so delusional and you're so wrapped up in your own set of vices and purity tests that you can't see the basic pragmatic light of day that you would go with this again because it's the same shit again, only
all
this time
again.
It is so much worse.
So much worse.
We're thinking about the W, and we are no fans of George W. Bush.
Oh, God, no.
Man,
if we had this portrait podcast back in 04, I don't even know.
Look, the man who's a dullard, and he wipes his ass with the Geneva Convention, and he's a warmonger and a war profiteer and all these horrible things.
But the Republic stands.
The Republic stands, and at the end of the day...
And he honored Supreme Court fucking cases, like decisions, and...
He said, nope, I don't like it, but that's
Try to nominate Harriet Myers, which was hilarious because that was his personal lawyer.
That was hilarious.
But, like, you know, he understood when someone explained it to him, like, okay, cool, I'll do somebody else.
Now, he tried to work his way around the separation of powers, and he tried to
And he had the global gag rule, and we have a lot of, like, do not misunderstand. Like, I hate this man. Like, he was a terrible president.
He was a horrendous fucking president.
However, he was a president of a democratic republic inside the rule of law for the most part.
For the most part. Compared to this guy, this is
not the same thing.
No, this is a disaster.
This is not the same thing.
And look, there was a really sobering, horrifying thing that I read today from what, you know, Greg Dworkin tweets and retweets a lot of great stuff, but he's also a doctor, so there's a lot of public health stuff, which is my jam, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've thought about this before. What if there is a global pandemic? Like, you think of a global pandemic during the Clinton years.
Right.
And during the George W. Bush years. There were enough
Ebola
during...
It was tiny, yeah. But, you know, not in terms of Africa, but in terms of globally, it was...
The point is, you need really... steady, smart, decisive leadership who knows what the fuck they're doing and has very strong scientific minds around them. What if a strain of bird flu jumps to humans and is incredibly virulent, and you're looking at a Spanish flu type situation like you had in, you know, 1910 or whenever it was, when it wiped out, I don't know, how a third of the population or something crazy like that. How do you expect this administration to handle it? That's terrifying.
Kill all birds and people that look like birds. I mean,
it wouldn't even be that. It would probably be just hide in Mar-a-Lago and do nothing and let anarchy reign. I mean, look, and this is the kind of shit people don't think about when you're yelling, make America great and something, something, bring the jobs back.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
You don't think about like, oh, no, what if we were in a real crisis? Because a lot of these people don't actually think that. And they said as much. You know, does Trump have the temperament or intelligence to actually lead the country? And it was like 65-35. No, but I'm going to vote for him anyway because I like the Make America Great slogan. Whatever. Right.
I'm mad.
Right.
I'm mad I didn't like the black guy and I want change.
Right. And then they don't think about what if an actual crisis emerged? Do you want Hillary Clinton, who you might not like and you might not trust and you think she killed Bill Foster, but she probably knows how to steer the country through a crisis, even if you hate her fucking guts? The vast majority
Trump
of Americans would say that.
Trump doesn't know how to steer his way through a fucking press conference. Okay? He literally couldn't get through a press conference. How the fuck is he going to be the leader? So we just say, this is my favorite argument. Well, you know, he's got good people around him.
No,
he doesn't. He has Nazi bloggers. That's his administration. Nazi bloggers.
Yeah.
Literally, and that is not being hyperbolic.
No.
Steve Bannon is a Nazi blogger.
Stephen Miller
is a Nazi just since he was a kid, apparently. He got booed off the stage when he was in high school for talking shit about fucking... Latino people and like how he was like taking protest to the idea that they had their school materials written in Spanish and English because it denigrated Latinos because they should pull themselves up by their bootstraps and learn English. And also we shouldn't celebrate Cinco de Mayo because it's un-American. And why do we have a gay club? And also black people are violent. That's who's running the country, because Donald Trump is not running the country. Donald Trump is running his own ego.
Yeah.
He's looking at the news. He's reading SNL. He's watching SNL. He is furiously tweeting about fake news and yelling at the press. I honestly don't think he really knows what's going on.
Well, these are the questions for not the hardcore sycophants, but the fairly reasonable people, maybe like our parents or your coworker. Okay. Maybe you really didn't like the bailout, but you kind of have to admit that Obama did steer us out of that ditch and got the economy back on track. Yep. Maybe not in a perfect way, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ebola crisis, where you thought everybody was going to die in the Ebola, mm-hmm. and it turned out one guy who brought it into the country got sick and died, and a couple nurses got sick and recovered, and that was it as far as the United States were concerned. Yeah. And it has basically been eradicated in Africa because of some amazing work by Doctors Without Borders and other...
And public health institutions that are funded by the federal government.
Yes.
Which we're going to gut.
Well, that's another story. But my point is, what happens when a real crisis emerges?
Yeah.
A financial crisis, a global public health crisis, a military crisis... Do you honestly expect this president and this administration to steer through it? I mean, we laugh at the incompetence and the craziness and the shit that's going down, but this is what this is something I read that drove me absolutely fucking crazy today. It was, and you know, take it as it is, it's second, third hand. It was Robert Reich apparently talking to somebody who's very connected or a former congressman or something. And he basically said, well, how long can Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell allow this shit to continue? They were basically like, well, they're just kind of going to let it ride it out. They let him distract everybody with all this bullshit. And as long as they get their tax cuts.
As long as he signs the bills that they do. It doesn't matter. Gutting
of regulations. Let him do his thing.
Yes.
Now, at a certain point, I would hope they're not that vapid. And they could really say, well, wait a minute. What if we really faced a full-on crisis? I mean, are they that myopic that they really are going to allow this farce to continue in light of something really terrible possibly happening that needs actual leadership?
I agree.
You keep mentioning Pence.
Yes.
And I'm thinking like a global pandemic, a financial crisis. Okay, Pence is not certainly the best guy to handle it, but I would take him every day of the
every
week
day.
And twice on Sunday over Trump administration.
Yes, yes.
He's been the governor of a state. He's got some idea how
he knows
of disaster
how to
protocol
govern.
And control.
He knows how to govern.
More
he
than
under-
this fucking guy.
He fucking understands how government works first and foremost.
Yes.
And he has governed things and he has some experience. He is a fucking evil piece of shit who I will fight to the death
and
on every issue. And he and I
out of a crisis,
could
but
not.
There's a chance.
But hold on. He and I could not be farther apart on every issue.
Right.
However, every day, all day long, I will take him. I'll fucking vote for him if I have a chance to. Just give me that
if
guy.
If it's a runoff, Trump versus
give
Pence.
Give me the evil conservative who I understand.
I will go door to door.
I will go fucking door knocking for Mike Pence at this point, because at least the Republic will stand. I will fight him every single day on every single issue because we disagree on. There's
you
not
think
a
we're
single
being,
thing
think
we
we're
disagree
being
on.
Hyperbolic. We're not kidding.
No, I'm not.
Like at
oh,
this point,
no.
we are
no, no,
we
no.
are praying for the relief of a Mike Pence presidency, just because it is something that resembles some essence of leadership.
Yes, some essence of
competent
a democratic
leadership.
Republic that I am familiar with and that he is familiar with, that he, you know, it boils down to very much easier than that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pence will work within the rule of law.
For the most part.
And Donald Trump will not.
Right.
Doesn't even know what that means.
But I'm going beyond that even. I'm talking about like the ability to put together coherent thoughts and address a potential crisis.
Yes.
Like I have some faith that Mike Pence might be able to do that.
Absolutely.
I have zero faith.
Zero.
That Donald Trump could do that.
Zero.
Ever.
Ever. No. 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 He'll just go like, I don't know, and go away.
You know what he
and
could do?
And then it's Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller, which is...
You know what Donald Trump
and
can
Rich
do?
And Rich Pubis is going to be like, guys, what are we doing? And they're going to be like, I don't know, kill some Jews. Like, it's just like, it's just, and he's like, no, there's a fucking crisis. And they're like, look, dude, figure it out. We're
blame
busy
the immigrants.
Planning to deport a bunch of immigrants and kill some Jews. I don't have time for like sick people. And also get rid of Obamacare while you're at it. And that's it. They don't give a shit. They have a specific agenda, and that agenda is to make white people, white men specifically, great again, quote, and everything else is not important at all. It doesn't matter. They don't know anything about it. They have no experience governing. They don't know anything about bureaucracy. They sort of despise government, and they're running it, and it's terrifying.
Right, and their
it's
whole
terrifying.
Idea is to break it all down and bring out anarchy, and then this sort of white ethno-nationalist rule.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what Steve Bannon wants, and he's the guy pulling the
and
strings.
And Stephen Miller, both of them.
And Putin.
They're just in lockstep
so
on this
anyway,
mission.
My point was this. Like, well, Donald Trump has been very successful. What is he good at? Well, he's good at convincing banks to loan him money.
Inheriting
money.
He's good
at the Russian mob propping him up with their money so that they can run their money laundering operations through real estate in the United States. I'm not making this up, by the way.
No, this is all proven facts. Look it up. Please. We will.
Please.
If you want to know, just hate
James Comey may be doing it right now, by the way, or somebody. He's good at licensing his name because he's a celebrity, and he's been a celebrity since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's good at. None of those things are going to help the United States in a crisis.
None of those things equip him with the skills he needs to deal with an actual crisis.
No.
None of them.
And inevitably, one's going to happen if he's there, if he's president long enough.
The greatest crisis he's probably ever faced was like, you know, a bankruptcy that was handled by a bunch of lawyers. And he was like, I don't feel like doing that.
The early 90s, he was almost wiped out.
Yeah.
He was like a billion in debt and he couldn't get any credit and he was fucked. And he figured out that the Russian mob could help him out and that he could license his name. And that bailed him out. That propped him up and kept him afloat. And guess what? That still owes the Russians.
Hi, Russia.
Yeah.
Hi. It's weird how they're coming up in this election, isn't it?
It's like people
it's
keep
so weird.
People keep asking, like, why is he so in love with the Russians and in hock to the Russians? Like, it's all there. Go back to the bankruptcy days.
Well,
go back to the days where his casinos were all going bust. And he couldn't get any line of credit except through Deutsche Bank. And who propped him up and how and what those connections are. It's all there plain as day. The dots get connected so easily. And you can see the interests of why they wanted him to be president. It all. And also you have to understand Russian politics too.
Yes.
You're thinking, well, there's the Russian mob and then there's Putin. That's two different things. No, it's not two different things.
The KGB became the FSB. Putin was a member of the KGB. The FSB became the new, basically, Russian police force. Then there's the connection to the Greek Orthodox Church, which Putin has completely entangled himself with, not because he's a member of it or gives a shit about it, but they have a lot of power and a lot of people in Russia that believe. And so he tied himself to that and allowed them to make laws against LGBT people, against women, against political dissidents.
Yeah.
My friend at work, we were having this very long conversation about this today because she's really struggling. This is the point I want to get to before we're done. Is this the Trump voter struggling with Trump and the justifications and the defensiveness and all of this stuff? And the justifications are endless. There's always a reason.
Sure, sure.
But it all comes down to this defensiveness of, oh shit, I should not have voted for Trump. Like, I didn't think he was serious.
But they're not ready to admit that.
No, they're not. Because
it's in the back of their mind.
Happened for them yet.
No.
Right? Like, you know, this whole, we're going to put 100,000 National Guard troops to round up immigrants. And then the administration comes out and Spicy says, no, there's no basis to that.
Right.
And then the AP goes, well, here's the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spicy says, well, that never got to the president's desk. And you're like, so who's crafting policy? And he says, well,
look over here, something shiny.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
or he takes out a squirt gun.
We're only 30 days in. So the defensiveness can retain itself for a little bit.
Yeah.
We can say, well, it's not happening. That's not going to happen. He said it wasn't going to happen. Look, he said, when it starts fucking happening, which it fucking will. I am not being hyperbolic. I am not being hysterical. This shit is coming. It's here. Mm-hmm. It's just not implemented yet. And when it does be implemented, becomes implemented, when it starts to happen, then I don't know what my dad says.
Well,
I don't know what my friend from work says.
Here's the thing. Greg explained this pretty well today, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the Gallup and the Pew polls, I mean, already the approval is tanked, right? It's at like 38%. And that's not far from the floor. You know what the floor is? The floor is 24%. And where that comes from is post-Watergate. Post-Watergate, Richard Nixon still had 24% approval. Those were the diehards who said, I don't care what Richard Nixon does. He's my man. Fuck it.
Do you know what?
So you're never going to get below that.
My dad was one of those guys. You want to know why?
A million reasons?
No, one reason. Richard Nixon got rid of the draft just before my dad got drafted.
Okay.
That's it.
But he's pro-war, support the troops.
He's not pro-war. No, he's pretty libertarian in terms of that stuff. Okay. But, you know, I might not be here if not for Richard Nixon, my dad would say.
Or he could have enlisted, like my dad did.
Nah, he's a hippie.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, the point is, there's a floor.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you're waiting for 100% of the country to say, oh, God, that was a bad idea, it's never going to happen.
No.
A quarter is always going to hold out.
Yeah.
And say...
But we're 30 days in, and he's at what, 38? 38,
if you believe Gallup and Pew. But 38 to 40%, that's not far off. Especially because he went in about 50-50, which is historically low for a president taking office. But still, it was 50-50. And now we're at like 38, 52, 58, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not friggin' far. And more shoes drop about Russia. And
we're 30 days in. And he's dropped like 20 points.
Well, and then this is my question, right? At what point is it politically expedient to McConnell and Ryan? This is what I can't fucking stand about them, right? Because you can be so myopic and that all you care about is passing your tax cuts and gutting regulations and getting rid of Obamacare and all the crap you want to do. And it's like, still, have you ever stopped and thought, well, what about a crisis? Well, what about the fact that the Kremlin is pulling the strings in our country? Well, what about the fact that the White House is having the strings pulled by white nationalists? Like, do you just not care about any of that? And the answer for most of Republicans in Congress is no.
No, I care about getting reelected, and I care about doing some crazy bullshit that will completely get rubber stamped by this president because he doesn't know anything.
So our only hope...
We're going to take advantage of it as long as we can.
And our only hope to these people is them say, throwing up their hands and say, fine, Operation Pence, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might get there sooner rather than later.
Oh, I do.
Because Trump ain't going to change.
No.
So the only way for Trump to get out of this is for Comey to lie to the Senate Intelligence Committee and say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then turn around and say, no, we didn't find anything. And then Chaffetz to say, yeah, no, I'm not interested. I'm just going to pursue former Hillary Clinton staffers because I'm such a partisan hack. It's surreal.
Literally... not the
Knowing Comey and Chaffetz and congressional Republicans.
Oh yeah, yes.
And then Trump can just go motoring along, and he'll get resistance.
He'll say crazy shit, and it doesn't matter. But in the quiet space between Trump doing shit is the Congress, which is completely controlled by Republicans, both House and Senate. Just passing bills and him signing them, and we aren't listening to or paying attention to any of that because he had a press conference where he said some crazy shit.
Right, and another calculation is the Republicans going home to their town halls and hearing all these angry people saying, "Don't get rid of my health insurance, don't poison my water,
don't rip my IUD out of my body,
don't have the National Guard come in and round up my cook and my housekeeper, please,
my friend."
Yeah. Right, like,
yeah,
they would have to ignore all that and say, I don't really care. I'm just really scared of getting primaried.
Yeah,
I'm going to take my chances.
Uh-huh.
Which is when we have to make them pay mightily in 2018 if we get that
so
far.
Mightily pay.
Right, and this is the calculation that a lot of Democrats are thinking. Like, well, if we can get by without a pandemic and a global crash and a nuclear war,
well, before 2018, we have
this can
no,
be really good for us politically.
We have no power.
But that's the difference between us and Republicans.
I know.
Is that people like Chuck Schumer
and
people like Nancy Pelosi and people like Joaquin Castro are there saying, we need
to fucking
survive.
We're trying to do the right thing.
Like, We need the human race to survive.
I know.
How do we do that? And sure, in the back of their mind are thinking, okay, we need to pounce in 2018 if we get that far.
So that we can survive longer.
But, right. And if they were completely political animals like the other side and just cold and calculating, they would say, okay, yeah, no, go ahead and pass all this horrible legislation that nobody wants.
We're going to hold you to it to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to, no, but they're begging their Republican colleagues, please, we have to do something to save the Republic.
Yes.
Please, yes. Join us and save the Republic and save the goddamn world.
Yeah.
Because that is their priority. And not all of them. I'm sure there's plenty of Democrats who are just nothing but politically calculating.
Trust me, there are.
Absolutely. But there's more on our side that are like, we need to save the goddamn human race.
Yes.
And then we'll worry about politics later.
Yes.
And on that note, that's about going
to
do it.
God, yeah. We have so much more, but we'll talk to you guys soon.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Thanks for sticking with our rants. As usual, please stay active, stay tuned, and stay involved. And it's making a difference. It is helping.
It is helping. Believe Don't forget me. That. It is helping.
It may not seem like it because the horrible people are getting
what we're doing is the pushing back is working. We're not going to make any progress. We're just going to push back. And sometimes the pushback is going to fail. But the pushing back is working.
Yes.
And that's all we can hope for at this point. And you're all doing a great job. And I love you very much.
So don't stop.
Don't stop. Keep calling. Keep going. Demand town halls. Go to town halls. Rant and rave. In person. On the phone. Get in their faces. This is important.
Yeah. And don't be put off when they say, oh, you're just a paid protester. Because guess what? If we keep showing
you up. You give them your zip code and you give them your address and you give them your phone number and you give them your, you tell them. They know.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. Find us at Irreverent Duo, irreverenttestimony@gmail.com.